Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to A Very Merry Iconic Podcast. I'm Danny Pellegrino.
I'm Jenna Brister.
And we're so excited. It's our very first episode. Jenna, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic after watching Let It Snow. How are you doing?
I love Let It Snow. I thought it was so adorable. I'm so excited. We're going to dive into it in a second. But before we do, I hope you'll indulge me for a second.
Yes.
So I love these holiday movies. You know that. You love them too.
So much.
And I want to mention right off the bat, you're a writer for Hallmark and Lifetime. You've written, most recently you wrote a movie for Lifetime called
Killer Twin.
Killer Twin, about a killer twin.
Yes.
Not a Christmas movie, but.
Exactly. And then I'm writing several Hallmark movies now, and they're so fun to write because the formula.
Yeah,
that's the thing that comforts everyone this season.
Right.
When things are getting real outside, all I want to do is go home, plug in on the couch, and watch
one of these
formulaic
Christmas movies, right?
Yes. 100%.
Now, so I want to just dive in and talk about the difference between some of these networks. So right now, this very first episode, we're going to be covering Let It Snow, which is a Netflix original movie. And there's a supporting performance by Joan Cusack as Tinfoil Woman that was just truly incredible.
Yes. She's two lines in the whole thing. And she was the support system through the whole thing.
Showed up with no makeup, just some Reynolds wrap on, and then just show up in a tow truck.
As the tow truck driver who didn't... Oh, I think she towed Tobin. Okay, we'll get into it later. Yeah,
we'll get into it. Yes. Anyway, so years and years ago, Lifetime and Hallmark used to both make these Christmas movies that we all know and love. Lifetime got out of the game for a while. Mm-hmm. And then Hallmark really took over. They took the crown of like everyone goes to Hallmark for these Christmas movies, and the ratings were like through the roof, and every holiday season Hallmark would start producing more and more brand new original movies. Last season I think it was 37 or 38 brand new movies just for the Hallmark network. This season it's 40 new movies on just the Hallmark network. And they were so successful, the ratings were so good, that Lifetime recently decided to get back in the game. So they're back in the game, and now Netflix is in the game. They're making these movies, and they're all a little bit different. So on Hallmark Channel, they're doing 40 new ones this year.
Wow.
40 new ones, but it's divided between two channels. So we have the Hallmark Channel, and then we have Hallmark Movies and Mysteries.
Mm.
Now, the Hallmark Channel produces more romance. So those are the big city gal, goes back to her small town, falls in love with her high school sweetheart at the gingerbread.
Some hunky guy in flannel.
Right.
Yes.
Very romance driven. Those are on the Hallmark Channel, the original Hallmark Channel. Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, they do more family dramas. There's still usually some romance, but it's a little bit more family drama.
Mm-hmm. Heavier themes.
Heavier themes. Now, the Hallmark Channel in general, they're very formulaic, like as you said.
Yeah.
They do a really great job of like the sets are beautiful. There's like Christmas in every fucking corner.
CGI'd snow.
CGI'd snow.
There's always a Christmas tree lot. I think that's the one place they're like, well, let's just get this out of the way. You know, there's a Christmas tree lot.
Yeah, they're wonderful, but they're very formulaic. They got them down. So Lifetime, they do very similar movies to Hallmark. However, Lifetime has a little bit less restrictions on things like diversity. So on Hallmark Channel, you won't find any gay people in the movies, unfortunately. You'll maybe have a gay actor, but you won't have a gay character. And I always say this, of course, I'm like dying for one of these movies. Out of 40 fucking movies, one of them should have some gay characters.
Yes.
And every time I say this, people will point out to me that occasionally there'll be like a brother or an innkeeper who's like alluded to be gay, but it's always very coded language and it's annoying. I just want there to be an explicitly, I don't need to see them sucking each other's dicks.
Yes.
Excuse my language.
Though that's fine. Yeah. There's a bonus level.
Right. Unedited version. Like, remember on DVDs when they would release like
bonus features?
Bonus feature. It would be unrated edition.
Uncensored.
American Pie or whatever.
Yeah.
But so I always say that I wish they were just out of those 40 movies, I wish there was like some sort of LGBT representation in some of them. And now Hallmark does a little bit better job at showing people of color.
Yes.
It's still not perfect. But Lifetime, they show more LGBT characters.
Mm-hmm.
They show more diversity, so you'll see a lot more black leads on Lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do think like the movies on Hallmark are better. That's just I think like They have the formula down better.
They have the brand. They know what they're doing, and it's they've got it.
Lifetime can be a little wackier with their movies. Like, mm-hmm. Melissa Joan Hart's movies are always like a little wackier on Lifetime.
Yeah, the logic doesn't always track.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, a little. Sometimes there's like a supernatural element on Lifetime ones that are weird. So then with Netflix now, it's interesting that they're getting in the game because they're throwing much higher budgets at these. We're going to talk about Let It Snow. I mean, you were saying the budget.
Yeah. And I loved Christmas Chronicles last year, that Kurt Russell one. It was so well done. So good. But even the budget lights up opening scene. I was like, this is the whole budget for a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
This is like the $100K spent on one set alone. And it looks so good.
Yeah. Even the snow looked real. It didn't look like the fake snow.
Yeah. We need to look up where it was filmed because it does look authentic.
All the Netflix movies, though, they also are even more diverse. So in this movie, we got an LGBT, we got a lesbian storyline going on. Mm-hmm. We had a very multi-ethnic, multi-racial cast.
Color. Yeah.
It was a wonderful in that sense. So now I think every channel should get in the Christmas movie game because they do so well. I mean, like I said, the Hallmark ratings are through the roof, and that's why all these networks are jumping on board.
Mm-hmm.
I think MTV, VH1, BET, like every fucking network should get in on this because they're great. And we want these movies. That's why we're doing this podcast.
Exactly. That's all we want to watch right now. You know, from now until
the end of 2019.
Yeah, exactly. Until New Year's. This is
Valentine's Day. That's all I'm watching.
Exactly. Yeah. Or even New Year's movies. I pitched a New Year's one to Hallmark and they didn't go for it. They're like, no one wants a New Year's movie. I'm like, but I do though. I do. I don't go out on New Year's. I want to stay in and watch a New Year's movie.
They did a New Year's one last year. They did one of them and it wasn't great. It's like a weird time because I remember the New Year's one last year on Hallmark. It like started on New Year's Day or it started on Christmas Day or the day after Christmas. So it's like they still try to have the decorations up.
Yeah.
But it's just a little bit weird. But I love these movies. And so with this podcast, A Very Merry Iconic Podcast, we're going to try to cover some from all over the place. So next, our next episode, we're going to be covering a Hallmark movie called Right Before Christmas. Starring.
Yes. And it's spelled right, like W-R-I-T-E. So don't be confused looking in your DVR.
Right. So everyone DVR, it's going to be on November 17th. And it's with Chad Michael Murray on Hallmark Channel.
Yes.
And he looks good, too.
He does look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a great all-star cast in this one.
We're going to talk about that. That'll be our next episode, so those of you stay tuned.
Yeah, so
we want to cover something from everywhere. So we're going to start with this Netflix movie, Let It Snow, without further ado.
This place is beautiful. It's like the perfect holiday card.
Snow hides a lot. It's like the Spanx of weather.
You can do a lot worse than this place, trust me.
Tell her that you like her.
And I've noticed since I was 5 years old, it's not that easy.
You just have to tell her you want the same relationship plus boning.
Tobin!
Yeah. Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I'm up good.
See you downstairs when you found a bra. Slept on my
own. Christmas Eve bash. Come one, come all. Boom.
He's gonna break up with me.
He would have to be the dumbest human being on earth to do that. Like, dumber than the people who blow on ice cream before they eat it.
That girl and I had a thing.
Have you ever been with someone and you stay up until like 4 a.m. just talking about everything and you're just like, I can't believe I get to exist at the same time as you?
No, but like, I'm really happy for you.
I realize that life is just a bunch of stuff you can't control.
But is that a bad thing?
Anything can happen. Good, bad, anything.
Did you love it?
I loved it. I loved it. I loved the soundtrack. I already went on Spotify and I followed the Let It Snow Netflix soundtracks. It's so good.
It was like really good song. And the cast was like all people that I recognized from people. There was like that one guy who played, what was his name? Keon?
Keon.
He was from the Spider-Man movies.
Mm-hmm. And the Duke is Sally Draper.
Yes. Who also is Sabrina in the new Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yes.
Not the old Sabrina Teenage Witch, starring my arch nemesis, Melissa Joan Hart.
Exactly. But the new one. And then Joan Cusack, which, I mean, come on.
She was just so good at it. I mean, it was so random to see her popping up in tinfoil.
Yeah. And she's the one who's kind of the fairy godmother of it all. Like, it's her voiceover at the start and the end. And she's wearing tinfoil. And that's our introduction to her. Actually, we only see her in profile. We meet her in profile. And she's wearing all tinfoil. And it's never explained.
She's never explained. No, we don't understand why she's wearing tinfoil. Also, I just want to point out that like Joan is taking very random roles because mm-hmm. in the movie Snatched, we were talking-
The Amy Schumer one.
The Amy Schumer one. She had no lines.
Yeah. She was Wanda Sykes' longtime partner and they were CIA operatives and she had her tongue cut out in an interrogation. But I love that as a creative choice for the writing and of Joan to be like, no lines.
And she's just so talented. No, she still kills the fucking role. Yeah, she's amazing.
She's incredible.
Excuse my French. I'm going to be swearing a little bit. So I hope no one's thrown off since this is a Christmas podcast.
Yeah, exactly. If you have children in the room, send them out. Send them outside to play in the snow. Also, lights up. So we meet that guy, Keon, the guy who's in Spider-Man. And so he's about to throw a house party because his parents were going to leave for the holidays. But then they get snowed in. And that's the big theme that Joan's voiceover sets up. That she says stuff like, snow can change your view, your point of view. It can bring you together or keep you apart.
Yeah. She says snow has the power to keep us, to bring us together.
Yes.
And again, real snow. And we meet at that, right off the bat, we see that pig too. The pig's like going to come into play later. But we like see a little pig motif in the very beginning opening scenes. And it's adorable. And it's a lot of like young youths. They're young. Yes. We were looking on IMDb.
Oh, gosh.
It's depressing.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that person's hot. And then they're born in the 90s. If you look it up and they're born after 95, I could go to prison for saying that on the airwaves. But they're good looking. They're good looking.
No, they were
people.
All of age, though. We looked. Most of them were over 18, but it was still depressing to see that like over 18 is still the 90s now.
Yeah, exactly. And the girl who plays Dora the Explorer, she's one of the female leads.
Wait, by the way, on my Everything Iconic podcast, I was talking about like 98 or something, and I was like 10 years ago in 98.
It feels
and
like that,
so
though.
Many people were like, Danny, by the way, like that was like 20 or 30 years ago. I'm like, what?
How? Yeah. My high school reunion, I think, is coming up, too.
Yeah. It was 20 years. It was 20 years, I think, was 98. 99 or something. I'm dumb. I'm not good at math.
Oh, me neither.
No. I really feel like that. Do you remember in 99 when we all thought the apocalypse was coming because of the computer situation?
The Y2K. Yeah.
I remember Jennifer Lopez Waiting for Tonight video, which was so good. It's like it's my favorite song of hers.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels like 10 years ago. That doesn't feel like 20 years ago.
No. Was that on the Six album?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's her best song. Like she, it's truly her magnum opus.
And she's doing the Super Bowl. I wonder if she'll.
I hope she does it.
Maybe she'll do Waiting for Tonight at the Super Bowl.
She better. It's her best song, and I don't think it gets the credit it deserves.
Yeah. Okay. So everyone listening, just start tweeting at J Lo for Waiting for Tonight at the Super Bowl. Okay, that's our goal as a very merry iconic podcast.
That's our goal. That's our first goal.
Yes, to influence J Lo's set list.
So we meet all these other characters here, and they're all gorgeous. We meet Stuart, who's the famous singer, and he's a gorgeous black man. Oof. Every single person we were looking up. The guy who plays JP, by the way, I posted on our at a very merry iconic podcast Instagram. His name is Matthew Noska, and I've followed him for like a year or something. He's literally a stunning male model. Like he's perfect looking, like so hot, and he was, I think, discovered by Ellen. Like, so he posted on Instagram a photo of him, like, building a deck. Because he's, like, a real do-it-yourselfer, you know? Awesome. Midwest Pittsburgh guy.
Hot.
And this photo went, like, viral. And then he was invited on Ellen, of course, because Ellen invites on anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone but us.
Yeah, exactly.
That should be our next thing to do. Get on
go
Ellen.
Go on Ellen, yeah.
I went to her. I went with a friend who was a guest on Ellen once. And Elton John was in the dressing room, like, next door.
What?
And Elton John brought his dog. And his dog like wandered into the dressing room I was in.
What kind of dog?
It was just like a little, I want to say like a little frou-frou dog, like adorable little like lap dog. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Like a Doberman. Yeah. It was, he would not have a large
great
canine.
Dane.
Yeah, exactly.
but I just remember that. But so this Matthew Noska, I followed him forever, and he's like maybe like one of my top. I follow mostly male models on Instagram.
That's smart. I need to start doing that. Also, what's my problem?
But it's also not smart because, well, it'd probably be good for you, but I always feel like, oh, I'm so ugly when I, you know? Because you just see these guys, like he's got the perfect body.
Yeah.
Perfect
it's
face.
It's jarring when he comes on screen because so far, I mean, besides
you
Stuart.
You clutched your invisible pearls.
I did. I was like, my light up Hallmark lanyard. I was like, what is this? It's almost like, oh, it's jarring.
Yeah.
It's jarring to see him.
I mean, even I think like being in bed next time, I'd be like, oh my God, I feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like you're radiating light, gorgeousness.
Yeah. And he's also a self-identified like feminist, too. He's very woke.
He's very woke.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so interesting because we watched a Hallmark movie too and this movie. And it's amazing how on Netflix, it's like all the characters are woke. And I know they're a younger generation that's being represented in Let It Snow, but it was like, They are like one of the guys is self-proclaimed feminist and we have a lesbian storyline. It's like shockingly different from what you see on some of the other networks.
It is. And they're like calling each other out for wanting attention, which is the opposite of, you know, a lot of the other movies. They're dealing with real life stuff.
Real life stuff.
Yeah. Getting into college.
There's even that
sick
scene,
family members.
That scene where Joan like throws the phone, the young girl's phone out the truck.
And it gets run over. And I was like, oh, but again, like, she is the fairy godmother of this.
So that Stuart, who's the famous singer, he is in this small town. It's like a little Illinois town. And there were a lot of little references to the Vacation movies with the Griswolds.
Yes. The car. First of all, Tobin's car. It was like that Griswold wood-paneled Roadmaster.
Green, like that ugly green.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, and then also the sled. That's what you brought up,
the
too.
The sled like, scene.
Yeah, exactly. When it goes haywire.
I love the Christmas Vacation movies.
Me too.
And they're doing a screening here in LA where Chevy's going to be there afterwards with like a Q&A. We should go to it.
Yeah,
he's going to do like a Q&A afterwards.
Oh, fun.
And he's like supposed to be like nuts.
I've met him a couple times at UCB in New York. Yeah, he was at shows.
Was he nuts? Wait, was he just viewing shows?
Yeah, he would drop in and try to get on stage.
No.
Yeah. He'd always be like, you guys need a fifth, you know? And you're like, what? Chevy Chase?
Oh my God,
yeah,
Chevy.
Which is really fun. But he's, I would love to go to that.
You know, Beverly D'Angelo, who plays Ellen Griswold, she's like a friend now. I interviewed her on my show and we're like friends. We text sometimes.
Yeah.
I like love her. She's so really cool. She's great.
Yeah.
She's great.
Great stories, right?
She's great stories.
Yeah. I also love there was that broom ball scene, which is really cool in the ice rink.
That's where we meet the twins who were in prison.
Mm-hmm. Which are kind of the villains. Yeah. The twins were vaguely in prison, but now drive a red Mustang and play broom ball.
So, out of all the people in the movie, they were the villains. Like those were the only two that were like villainous.
Yeah, exactly. Because the snow wasn't really the villain.
No.
Yeah.
It was very much like a hangout movie. It was interesting because it seemed like Breakfast Club-y, right?
Yes.
You mentioned Breakfast Club.
It totally felt like that, where it's like a bunch of wayward teens who all want something different, who are trapped in this place. That's how it felt. But in a good way.
You know, it was based on a book by three different authors. Mm. I looked this up in the middle of it. It was three authors. One of them is John Green, who wrote Fault in the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Laura Dern, Shailene Woodley.
Right. And then two other authors, which I should have remembered their names. But so apparently the book is based off these like three interconnected stories where like each author took on a different story.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it was interesting. And I don't know for sure, but I think John Green probably wrote the storyline with Stuart and the girl, Julie, who is played by Dora the Explorer.
Mm-hmm. And because she has the sick mother, but she got into Columbia, and it's a will they, won't they? Will she not go to college? I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. There was like a sick mother storyline.
Yeah.
And the girl who played Julie is the girl who played Dora the Explorer in the movie, and we were looking her up, and her profile picture is her in the Dora costume.
Yes, yeah, full body.
That's jarring to me, like, because she's an
gorgeous.
Adult. She's stunning looking, but she's an adult.
Yeah, she's like, take a full body shot. Like, it's like calf-high pink socks.
What was that monkey's name? Like, what was the monkey's name in Dora the Explorer? Oh, I don't remember.
I would have to look it up. I'll look up his IMDb.
Yeah, but so she is an adult, though, and I didn't see the Dora the Explorer movie, but is she supposed to be a kid in the movie? Like, that's unclear to me.
Yeah, I think so.
Because she's 20.
Yeah, she is 20. And beautiful.
Yeah. Everyone in this movie was like so hot. I know we're going to keep saying that, but
yeah, I know, right? So let's see.
So we meet Dory at the Waffle House. Dory's one of the workers there, and she's a lesbian. And I was a little confused at first because I, again, was shocked. I was like, are they really going to have a lesbian storyline in this? Mm-hmm. Because that's not something I'm used to.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was true. She was longing after this girl. So she works in the Waffle House, and a dance team comes into the Waffle House.
Mm-hmm. Snowden. From Nationals.
From Nationals. Were they a dance team or a cheerleading team?
I think dance team. Okay. Yeah.
Gorgeous. They were funny too. Like, one of the girls was like really dumb and she just had like little one-liners. But when they came in, it was revealed that Dory, she like had a romance with one of the dance team girls, but the dance team girl was like not out of the closet yet.
Yeah.
She's like not keeping it from her friends.
And they had some cool all-nighter where they stayed up talking about Harry Potter and it was like this unrequited love. But it became very apparent early on that she wasn't out to the dance team, who you noticed they had opened up a bunch of Splenda packets and were cutting like cocaine lines.
Yeah, there was like a if you pause it, you just see like they were cutting lines of coke.
Yeah.
And we know that it's Splenda, but still look like lines of cocaine.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. And to be honest, like a dance team, they probably were.
Yeah, exactly.
They're probably actually cooking.
Because they have to be up all the time.
They have to be on uppers. I know. We were about to record. I'm like, I need an upper. Of course, I've never done cocaine, FYI. But sometimes people will write in when I'm hyper on caffeine. They'll be like, you're on cocaine. I'm like, no.
No, this is just my life. I get accused of it too. I'm like, no, I just drink coffee.
Yeah. Or you know what'll happen is like people have DM'd me that they accidentally listen to the show on like 1.5 speed or 2 speed.
No way.
And like anyone sounds like they're on cocaine when they're on 1.5 speed if you're listening to the podcast that way.
Yeah. I love they have to tell you.
So if we seem like we're talking fast, look down at your podcast app and see what speed we're on.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. So Addie's storyline. So she was the one who's Dory's roommate and she has that boyfriend, Jeb, who she's texting him and she's like, he's going to dump me on Christmas, which is a messed up move of Jeb. We don't like him.
He was an asshole. We didn't meet him until later in the movie and he was like with that other girl and he was like such a dick.
At his girlfriend's best friend's diner, workplace.
I know, like, fuck you.
You want to get caught.
You want to get caught and you're just an asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, he was gorgeous too.
Yeah, he was hot.
What was he from? We looked him up.
Oh, yeah. He was from Booksmart. He's in Booksmart.
Which was such, did you see Booksmart?
Yes, I loved it.
I loved it so much.
It was really fantastic.
It makes all these like good youths movies. I'm trying to think like did we have good ones when we were younger? We had like a lot of teen rom-coms.
Like, on the line. And like, yeah. Oh, we had She's All That.
I remember seeing She's All That in theaters and just like, I thought it was the greatest movie ever.
Oh yeah. And we saw Rachel Lee Cook recently.
Oh yeah. We saw her at a party. She's speaking of these movies. She's doing Hallmark movies now. She's in like a series of movies on Hallmark.
Oh, I hope she's in mine. Look, I told them her name. I was like, please see
in the one you're writing.
Yeah. First look deal for Rachel Lee Cook, please.
If I was one of these actors, I would go right to Hallmark or Lifetime and I would just start doing all these. Candace Cameron Bray's got it down pat. Mm. She goes over to the Hallmark and she films 3 fucking movies a year. Mm-hmm. And she's the queen over there. Her and Lacey Chabert.
Yeah.
They're the stars.
Yeah.
And I would just take that paycheck to the bank. They film them in like, 4 days?
They do. Oh, it's literally 2 weeks. Because I went up to set for my Lifetime movie in Vancouver, and they had just gotten off of doing 12 Hallmark Christmas movies. Oh. So the crew was like, oh my gosh, this is all we've been doing for 4 months straight. It's so funny.
I interviewed a producer once for one of the Hallmark movies, and he said there was one that like they ordered really late in the year. And so like they had to have an editing bay like on set. So like as the scenes were coming in, they would have to be editing it. So it'd be done. And they were filming. Wow. It was like on Thanksgiving or it was like after Thanksgiving, they were filming it to be aired the next week.
Oh like, my gosh.
They're just so quick, but they're good.
And they pump them out. Yeah.
Not these Netflix ones though.
Yeah. No, these are high budge. Right. I would love to know the budget of this. It's got to be high. It's really good.
So throughout the movie, everyone kind of like winds up at this Waffle House, in and out. Like even Stuart ends up there and then the dancer girls like recognize him because he's a famous singer. And then he has to like, he runs to the bathroom and the dancer's like, where'd he go? And she's like, well, where do you think he went? He had diarrhea.
Yeah, exactly. And then he crawls out the bathroom window and then that's when they go sledding. I also love in this movie, no one has parents.
No.
I think only Dora. We meet her mom because she has the sick storyline.
We see the sick storyline. And then Joan's like the matriarch of the movie.
Yeah.
Joan Cusack.
She's the parent they need.
Hashtag tinfoil woman.
Tinfoil woman. We looked up her character name and it's just tinfoil woman.
I like really thought I would look her up on IMDb and it would just say like Julie or something. And
no.
I was like, nope. She's credited as tinfoil woman.
Yes.
There was also a car chase scene in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which was something that I was surprised by. Tobin is driving that Griswold car, and the prison twins chase after him with the keg.
Exactly. They stole the keg to go to the Waffle House because they needed booze.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's like a little, that would never happen in a Lifetime movie or a Hallmark movie. They don't have the budget for car chase scene. This isn't Fast and the Furious.
Or kegs. There would never be booze.
No.
You're lucky if you get wine.
In this movie, there was a lot of kissing.
Yes.
And at the very end, there was tongue kissing, which you never see.
Ever.
In a Hallmark movie, you get one kiss at the end, but it's closed mouth. You'll never see tongue.
And it's after there's been a proposal put on the table. It's like, are we going to do this, you know, happily ever after? And then you can kiss.
Right. And by the way, ladies, you need to try out the horse before you, or what's the phrase?
Yeah. Try the horse before you buy the carriage.
Yeah. You need to try. You need to get laid
first. Try
the
milk before you buy the cow.
See how the dick is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Seriously. See the udders before you buy the herd.
Right.
That's gross. I made that up, but use it.
But you,
it's totally fine.
But you need to know. You can't just, these people end up together forever and you need to know. Yeah. I'm all for waiting until marriage, like if you want to wait to have sex. But, you know, you could always check out the goods still. Yeah. You know, just because you're not doing insertion.
Yeah.
I hope my mom's not listening to this. Yeah, it's
insertion. I knew, oh gosh, one couple who, I mean, blessed be the name, waited until the wedding day to kiss. And I'm like, oh God, that's terrifying. Bad.
That's a bad idea. I could never
do that. I'm a kiss on the first day. I'm a kiss in the first 10. Minutes.
You know, my best friend Jill, she like,
oh, I love her.
She used to, we used to love, when we would go to the bar, she would love to make out with guys at the bar. Like, yeah. That was her thing. And she would never go any further than that. But I would always have to be like, Jill, like, stop it. You're in public. Like, it was like her thing. She thought it was like so funny and fun. And like, you cannot be tonguing everyone at the bar. Like, yeah. It's not appropriate.
But she was checking out the goods before she brought.
I do think it's appropriate to tongue, but just not in the bar in public in front of everyone.
Yeah.
But totally. You know what? We're sex positive here.
Yeah, we are.
So do what you got to do.
But I'm the same. I'm not really a public, you know.
You're not a public.
Yeah, no, I'm not like a bar makeout person.
Yeah, I find it awkward.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were moments in my 20s or something like that, of course, when I was drunk or at a bar.
Yeah.
But for the most part, yeah, I'm not interested in.
Yeah. I don't really get hit on at bars. I think the last time, oh gosh, I was at a bar and some guy started hitting on me. He was really tall and I jumped off the stool. I didn't jump off the stool. I was sitting on it like a person. And I stood up and the guy goes, have you seen Lord of the Rings? What? And I was like, what? He basically called me a hobbit. And I was like, check, please. Wait, I'm out of here. Yeah, a man called me a hobbit.
What?
And I was like, this is dating in 2019. See ya.
Oh my God. Isn't I feel weird? Like people aren't good at flirting in public anymore.
No.
Because now everything's on the apps.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like it. And men are dumb anyway.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know how to talk to people in general.
Yeah. They're like, oh, she's short. Make a hobbit reference. That'll win her over.
What an asshole. What did he look like? Did he look like... Okay, I feel like there's two ways that man could go.
Okay, yeah.
He's either really gorgeous and, like, so never had to learn how to talk to people, so he never developed a personality. Or he's really also hobbit-like and awkward.
Hot and awkward.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, hot and awkward?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. A lethal combo.
Interesting.
Oh, you made a good point about Joan Cusack's character. Back to the Griswold thing. She is the Randy Quaid of this world. Oh, yeah,
she's the Cousin Eddie of this world.
No, what I just realized? In that, Cousin Eddie had the metal plate in his head.
The metal.
Maybe this is a nod.
The tin foil.
The tin foil. Oh my gosh. Okay. Whoever wrote, good job.
Which, by the way, Randy Quaid was like, so fucking good in those vacation movies. Like, amazing. But he turned nuts. Mm-hmm. Like, in real life, he's like nuts now.
Isn't he exiled? Can he not come back to America for something?
I don't know. I was just trying to think I should explain how or why he's nuts, but I don't remember.
I think he did something messed up.
He did something nuts. I don't remember what or exactly was. We'll look it up after we're done.
Yeah, it'll be in the show notes.
But he did something.
Yeah.
But he was so good.
Yeah. I really like all of Joan's choices, too. Like, she went no makeup, which I love. No glam. Everyone else was obviously in the chair.
Do you think it was a character choice? Or she was like, I don't have time for this movie. I'm just showing up on set. You could throw the tinfoil hat on me. And I'm acting.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think she's like, I would like the extra 45 to sleep, you know, or walk around.
It's so upsetting to me. She's so talented, Joan Cusack. Talented. Like, why are we... of course, I love her in this role, and it's fun to see her, but it's like, she needs to be doing great. She's a fantastic.
Yeah.
Did you ever see her in Adam's Family Values?
Yes.
She's so good in that movie, and it's like, she can do everything.
Yeah.
She plays like a very vain, beautiful, you know, vain woman.
Totally.
And I think she's so talented. It's like, she should be doing great, wonderful things, or let's get her a series that she could like really bite her teeth into.
It's like a Toni Collette, one of those types. Or what if she
Was she on Shameless?
Oh, I don't know, actually. I
think she
Shameless.
Was at was some point. Maybe I'm making that up.
I wonder if her and John would ever do something together.
Who? Let's start, John Cusack.
Yeah, brother, sister. Let's tweet at them, too.
Okay.
We have a lot of campaigns lot going of out from going this episode.
But I do want Joan Cusack on my screen. I just...
Yeah.
Anyway, back to your point. I don't know if she just was doing this for a paycheck and just showed up on set and was like, I don't have time for this. Mm-hmm. Or if she's like, you know what? The character is a hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
The character seemed like someone we'd see on Hoarders.
Yes. The tow truck is actually so she could tow garbage to her house.
You pointed out she like rarely towed anything. Like she was always in the tow truck.
And we didn't see her tow because the Griswold car gets stuck in a snowbank when they're running away from the twins. And then Tobin's just in there, by the way, looking like a corpse.
Right. Tobin got pissed because they went to the church and he's in love with that girl.
Yeah.
And Sally he Draper. Thought the girl was going to be in love with the hot male model that I follow.
Yeah.
I love how we're calling these
the hot male model, Sally Draper. She'll love that.
There was like a little church scene. And then he thought she turned him down, but she didn't.
No. She's just having a good time with her college friend. Can we talk about the Christmas Eve service?
Or the Kwanzaa church. It was Omni Faith.
Yes, Omni Faith pageant that went on in this church. And Elizabeth Stewart was the only one to call out, like, this is the most insane thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was like everyone was represented in the best way.
Yeah, there was the Chinese dragon. Then there was like a Krishna
character. There was a lighting of a menorah.
Yeah, there were
a lot going on.
People from all different faiths. And
that's the thing, though. That's what this world is. Like, mm-hmm. That's why I keep calling on movies on the other channels to be more diverse, because I think it just makes the movie better. That's what our world looks like. And so when I'm watching something like Grey's Anatomy, I think it's so great that we see different people on there.
Yeah.
Like, and it always is successful. Like, it's never not people. Or remember Cinderella, the colorblind casting for Whitney Houston and Brandy's Cinderella?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why we're not doing more of that. It's like weird to me that, of course, if a movie is about a specific faith or ethnicity or something like that, I understand. But for a lot of movies, I wish they would just be more diverse in their casting. And I don't know why the casting people. Even as far as the extras in this movie,
we
were saying like the extras, we were seeing all different people, all different colors, shapes, sizes in the extras.
Yes.
And I can't imagine if you were to work for an extra company like Central Casting, that's like the big extra casting out here. Mm-hmm. If I worked for them, I would, every project I got when I was casting the extras, I would make them look very diverse because that's what our world looks like.
Exactly. I ran into that also, not to throw anyone under the bus, but with Lifetime, the movie I wrote, I got some good advice that was like, write in ethnic character names. That's the only way you can get, if you have to explicitly say it, which was funny because I made like, I think I wrote like Officer Benicio Menendez, and then I get to set and it's like Dave O'Malley. They just hired an Irishman. He was a great actor. He was great. And obviously I'm not in those rooms. It's not my job is to write it.
There's a lot of other things going on.
Exactly.
Too.
There's a lot happening, but I thought that was so funny and such great advice as my first, you know, script that was going to get produced. You really do have to try, but it's nice to see in movies like this. Netflix was like, no, we are going to do this on purpose. We're going to make it look normal.
Right.
How a normal, like you walk into a Ralph's or an Albertsons or wherever you grocery shop.
You know, I always find that even in these projects where it is very diverse, and I hope I'm not sounding like too nitpicky or whatever, but I have people with disabilities are like rarely represented in movies. So like you rarely see someone who's got a physical or a mental disability.
Someone in a wheelchair. Don't talk about it.
And it's like so rare. And once you start to like pay attention to that, you think like, why isn't anyone in the background in a wheelchair? Mm-hmm.
Or have a sling or a neck brace.
Why isn't there anyone with Down syndrome in one of these roles? And I know people might be rolling, they're listening and maybe rolling their eyes, but it's like when you really start to notice that there's such little disability representation on screen. And I have friends who have disabilities who always say like, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. And if you really pay attention to it, you will find that it's like very rare for there to be just some, any of that in the background of a movie or even in the foreground or a character with a one line or something like that. Just so rare. And I always think that's something important too. If you're writing and you can write it into the script.
Yeah. Or even like with wardrobe and with casting, it's like someone can have an eye patch. And it's not, and like, you just don't mention it. It's like they had LASIK.
You know who was in this movie that I love? Darcy. Do you know Darcy Carden?
Yes, I do.
She's so funny. She's on the show The Good Place. And she's just so funny and so talented. And she's doing A League of Their Own for Amazon. Did you read this? With Abby from Broad City.
Jacobson. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. They're doing A League of Their Own, the series.
Fantastic.
For Amazon. And I'm like so fucking excited. But she's in The Good Place and she's so funny and talented. And I love her.
I need to try to audition for that. I played on Blue Thunder. I played club softball back in the day. Oh, also, back to your disability thing, Joan Cusack.
Back to your disability.
To your disability. No one else is Danny's.
Back to your disability thing.
Joan Cusack, remember in 16 Candles, she has that neck brace, right? Or like the back brace, and they don't really reference it. So she's the thread, the common thread.
The tinfoil was not meant to be referenced.
She has that metal on her. Maybe it's just her wardrobe. She's like, I need metal on my person for all of my roles, or else I'm not doing it. And they're like, okay, wrap her in tinfoil.
Wrap her in Reynolds wrap.
Yeah.
Is Reynolds wrap the saran wrap, or is that tinfoil?
Reynolds wrap.
I think they make both.
They probably make.
Yeah. There was an almost kiss that really stressed us both out. It was Stuart and Julie. They were like back at Julie's house.
In her childhood room.
In her childhood room, which is the perfect place to have that first makeout.
Yes.
And they were so close to kissing. We were like shouting at the screen like,
damn it! She was also, or he was also wearing her grandfather's clothes. And I wonder if that was a small turnoff.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, he had to borrow the sweater. This is hot, though.
He borrowed the sweater, and I was like, do I like that or do I not like that? And then I realized I could never pull that off.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But I sort of liked it, and he looked good on anything.
Yes, exactly.
He was so Stuart. Who was the sexiest person in this movie for you?
Oh, honestly, it was Stuart. It was Stuart, yeah. The pop star. He was very sexy. I mean, whatever, JP.
Gorgeous lips.
The
guy who plays
the
JP,
male model.
The male model.
It was fine too, but oh my gosh, Stuart had this swag
and
about
Tobin,
him.
Too. We said Tobin is, he's 25 or something in real life, the guy who played Tobin. And we were saying in 3 to 5 years, he is going to be a real looker. He's already good looking, but in 3 to 5 years, he's going to be like a looker.
When he gets his college body, when he like fills out. Yeah. So we're just, you've heard it here first,
heard
everyone.
Here first. Mark the timestamp.
Objectifying Let It Snow characters.
You know what? That's what I do in movies. That's
exactly.
I was like literally Googling all these actors while I'm just image search.
Google I always look at the birth year. I'm like, please just, because that's the good thing about now. No one cares about age. There's such a Hollywood thing where like, oh, don't put my age on IMDb. But I like that.
I mean, you want to know that they're old enough.
Yes, exactly.
Of course.
Yeah.
But yeah.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
You know, there was a really sad moment between Julie and her mom. And Julie's trying to decide throughout the movie if she's going to go to Columbia. She says she's not going to go to Columbia. Stuart's like, you need to go live your life. Your mom may be dying, but you need to go to Columbia.
Yeah.
And so then there's this really beautiful moment towards the end where Julie sits down with her mother. And her mother is like, she tells her mother that she's gotten to Columbia. And her mom's like, you need to go. You need to go live your life. And it's a beautiful, sad, wonderful scene. We were both in tears.
Yeah.
And then, bam, we saw Joan in tinfoil.
Exactly. Rip us away from the sadness.
But it was like this beautiful, sad moment.
And she said something really sweet that was like, things like this will pop up in your life and you have to say yes. You have to take them. When the good things pop up, you take it. Yeah. And, oh, and Pops also. Pops was grilling Stuart.
They had a beautiful scene where they did a dance-off. They were talking about Mick Jagger.
They connected on Mick.
Julie Stuart... Mom and Pop, they did a dance-off.
Like a walk-off,
and they all sort
Mick Jagger moves.
Yeah, they all were doing like Mick Jagger moves.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I was trying to think, like, if it was a song by Mick Jagger. I was stupid in that moment,
no,
but we didn't know.
I couldn't tell.
We didn't know, but they did a great Mick Jagger impression.
Yeah.
And then that was right before they had that beautiful scene between Julie and her mom, and the mom was like, you need to go live your life.
Mm-hmm. And Julie also called out Stuart because she assumed things, which we all do, about famous people who live in hotels for the holidays. I think... we assume that they have their act together, that everything's fine. But if you have a friend living in a hotel for Christmas, they're not okay.
Check in on them.
Unless their house is in the fire path, which that happens in Southern California. But check in on them. Check in on your friends at hotels, because he basically said, wait, his mom doesn't support his music career or his dad. And I'm in a hotel because I have nowhere else to go. And like that broke my heart.
Yeah, he was, you know, it was interesting to me, that Stuart character, because he was the famous musician who would normally be a little bit more of an asshole and a playboy. And they didn't have the character written that way. He was like just a nice guy.
Very
even though he
normal.
Was like famous and everywhere they went, people recognized him. It was like he was humble and normal and nice.
Yeah. And he said, people don't know that I have feelings. People act like I don't have any feelings, but I'm a person.
In any other movie that would have been written, he would have been written rude.
Exactly. Like
but
a caricature.
The publicist, the woman Darcy Carden played, she was the one who was taking on all those qualities because she finally showed up at Julie's house.
Yeah.
And was like, Stuart, we need to get you back on the road.
Yeah. Sign an NDA. Oh my gosh, what happened to you? Why are you wearing grandpa's clothes? You know?
And then he changed and she's like, you got hot again. Thank God.
Yeah. She's great. That was a great role for her. She's
I love
so funny.
When somebody just like pops in for like a good scene or two.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. It's beautiful.
The Joan.
Yeah, so then at the very end, everyone meets at that Waffle House and they have the party. And it's just a bunch of youths partying mm-hmm. at the Waffle House. They're all dancing. And then that's when we get all these beautiful, like, love resolutions. So we get Stuart finally shows up and kisses Julie. And it's, like, so satisfying because we just wanted it so bad before.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the rooftop, we see Tobin and the Duke.
Which her real name's Angie, we find out. Because it came out in their first fight. I think because they're best friends. And they've always, I think, had a secret love crush on each other and only now realize it. And I love that when they're fighting, he's like, he calls her Angie. It's like serious.
It's serious.
Like, would that happen to you? Would they call you Daniel?
Daniel.
Yeah.
No one really calls me Daniel. Even, yeah. I'm trying to think. Occasionally, my mom calls me Daniel when she calls me Daniel Michael.
Daniel
or
Michael.
That, yeah. When she was mad when I was a kid. But she usually calls me Danster.
Danster!
The Danster. And Matt only calls me Danny. I think most people only call me Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're totally a Danny.
Matt was just reading a book. We were on vacation and Matt was reading a book. And in his book, it said the character's name was Danny. And then some other character came up to him and was like, oh, what are you, 12? You go by Danny? And I was like, oh my God, that's so fucking rude.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was weird to go by Danny as an adult.
No.
Do you think it's weird? Is it weird?
Not at all. No, my brother is an adult. He goes by Joey still.
Yeah.
You know, some people call him Joe. But I'm like, he's a Joey. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
Daniel. I'm not a Dan or a Daniel. I'm just not.
Or even Jimmy. My dad's Jim and all of his friends growing up called him Jimmy. I'm like, I love the name Jimmy.
Yeah. It's cute.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Anyways, own your name.
Anyway, they make out, Tobin and the Duke make out on the roof of the Waffle House.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally, they light the lights of the Waffle House.
And they find the W because the whole movie, it says awful house.
Awful. Yeah.
Or is it house or town?
Affletown or something like
yeah.
that. I have it written down somewhere.
But even that set, I thought that was, there was several
Waffle
romantic.
Town. It was Waffletown. Yeah.
It was, I think the most romantic setting was the Duke.
It was very romantic. And even though Tobin's, his proclamation of love to her was like a little too much. He said, I want to be with you for the rest of my life, which it's like you're young. But when you're young like that.
You know, think that.
I'll never forget. Speaking of Christmas romances. So when I was in high school, I was like mm-hmm. in love with this girl named Katie. Or I thought I was.
Yeah.
And she liked Disney. And at the Disney store, they had, at Christmas time, they had these all white stuffed animals that were like white and kind of glittery or something that you could buy the stuffed animals. And Katie would always have a Christmas party every year. And so for the 1 year I went to the Disney store, I like saved up my money, you know, and I don't even think I had my license yet. So my mom had to like, when we went, I saved up my money. I got Katie this all white Tigger. You know, from Winnie the Pooh. And I brought it with me and I like, she had this party at her parents' house. And I remember I like put it in the corner when I got there by my coat. And then the whole party, I'm thinking, I need to give her this stuffed animal. And then at the end of the night, I was like leaving and I was like, Katie, come here. And then I like, gave her the stuffed animal. And it was just like one of those moments. I remember it was like, I was all dressed up because it was like a nice little Christmas party.
Did she love it?
She did, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing ever, I'm trying to think. I think we like kissed or something. And then
yeah.
It was like, oh yeah, Danny's a bit gay.
Yeah. That is so
I think
sweet,
I bought
though.
Myself a stitch, my own stitch.
You're like, I got a matching one. Yeah.
Which like should have been code for like, you're a bit gay.
That's so sweet.
But yeah, it was like a sweet little romantic moment.
Yeah. I remember that Disney store at the mall growing up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I had the Mickey and Minnie.
They
of
still have Disney stores.
Yeah.
There's one in the Century City.
Yeah.
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 I like it. We were just at one. I like getting all the Disney ornaments. My Christmas tree has all the Disney ornaments.
Yeah. Well, I have all the Hallmark ones. Yeah. Through the years.
Oh. I love a good ornament.
Me too.
I love a good ornament. So then also we have the lesbian storyline. And so like the lesbian dancer goes up to Dory
mm-hmm.
and she says, look, I'm not out to my friends. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be rude to you. She kisses her outside of the Waffle Town.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the dancer friends see her through the window and they clap for her. They're not mad for her not telling her. They're like excited for her. And that made me so happy to see in a movie.
Absolutely. And when she tells Dory, you made me brave.
You made me want to be
brave.
So cool.
Yeah. I was like, oh, my heart.
Everyone just had a nice stories. like love story wrap up. Keon ends with dancing with his coworker manager.
Oh, I loved. He was one of my sneaky favorites, Billy. He
the
was
manager,
like,
yeah.
The guy from Green Day, who early on confesses that he's not allowed in the liquor store. We don't ever get to see why. I need a spinoff with just Joan and Billy. I want to see Joan and Billy's stories next Christmas. Like,
Billy said he goes into the liquor store in different costumes and they know it's him. And so they keep turning him away.
And that's why he can't buy booze for the party, which they're just having at this business, you know?
Oh, I loved it. So many happy endings, except for the mom's going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I hate to bring us all down, but the mom's probably dying at the end of this. And the girl's going to go, Julie's going off to Columbia.
Exactly. And then she's going to have, yeah, her boyfriend. You know what? This could actually have a sequel.
I hope it does.
They left it open-ended.
We should check. I think it's a book series. Like, ooh. I think it might be more than one book.
Like Crazy Rich
when
Asians.
I looked it up, it said like book anthology. So that leads me to believe that maybe there's more. But I didn't do enough research. It was just like a quick Google. So we'll Google that when we're done here.
It'll be in the show notes.
It'll be in the show notes with Randy
Quaid. I'm promising a lot in the show notes.
Randy Quaid. Yeah, and so that's the movie. Everyone dances at the end. And then Joan comes in with her narration. And she says, snow can make a difference, especially on Christmas Eve. Sometimes it's not just the eve of Christmas. It's the eve of the rest of your life. Mm. Sometimes you just got to let it snow.
And then it shows her gazing at the Waffle House from her tow truck.
From her tow truck.
Not towing anyone.
No, she's still not
just
working.
Just watching it all go down.
I'm a little sad, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Because Joan, do you think she has a family to go home to? Or is she just creeping on these kids at the Waffle Town?
I think she's alone. I think she lives alone.
That makes me sad.
Yeah.
She hopefully will friend Julie's mom.
Yes.
Because Julie's going to be off to Columbia. So hopefully Joan, tinfoil woman, friends Julie's mom. So she has someone to hang out with.
Yeah. And she falls in love with Pops.
That's true. We were a little unclear. So Julie's mom is obviously called her mom, but then there's another man that she lives with that she called grandpa at one point, but then he danced with it. So it was a little unclear if like he was the grandfather or the father.
The aging father.
And maybe we just missed it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we miss things.
Yeah, sometimes we miss things.
We better tell everyone right now, if you're going to be listening to us throughout the holidays, sometimes we might miss a fact.
Yeah,
we're laughing
exactly.
At Joan Cusack in a tinfoil outfit.
Getting an inaugury fill in the kitchen. Might miss a factoid, you know?
But it was so fun. I really loved this movie. And this movie wasn't as like cheesy bad as probably a lot of the movies we're going to be covering are. Yeah. I think this was just like a well-made, good young adult movie.
Exactly. It's nice to add that kind of range because I'm all for the cheesy, terrible ones. Terrible in a good way. But it's so high quality that I love Netflix. I love what they're doing.
I love what they're doing and I hope they do more. I know they're doing more. They're doing Vanessa Hudgens, who's like their main Christmas star right now.
Yes!
She's doing another one where a night, it's called The Night Before Christmas.
Ooh,
and a night.
K-N-I-G-H-T.
K-N-I.
Oh,
and a night
words.
Shows up, like he time travels and she falls in love with him on Christmas. And I cannot wait. What? The trailer's out. I can't wait for it.
Oh, that's so good. Speaking of second act, J-Lo. Okay.
Oh my God.
We saw second act in the theater.
Oh yes. So I love second act. Vanessa Hudgens. And that's a sort of Christmas movie, isn't it? I think there was a Christmas scene.
Yeah, that's right. It snows in the Bronx.
I'm happy Vanessa Hudgens is leaning into this new career where she just puts on a sweater and does a cheesy Christmas movie.
Yes.
That's what I would do too.
I would too.
Yeah, she should do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to be covering the next episode of this podcast. We're going to be covering the night or right before Christmas. WRITE. Again, that stars Chad Michael Murray. It's on the Hallmark Channel, November 17th. So watch along with us. Hopefully people can listen to this podcast, even if they don't get a chance to watch the movie. I'm so excited. Jenna, this is so fun. Any other final thoughts on Let It Snow that you want to share?
Oh, you know what? I cannot wait to drive around to the soundtrack and blare it this Christmas. It's actually really great. And I kind of want to want my own tinfoil woman in my life. I think I'm going to be here for Halloween next year. I'm putting that out there.
Oh my God, you should. No one would know.
And rent a tow truck. Be like, how can I rent this for 2 hours? I'm just going to drive around and not tow anyone. who am I, guys? Who am I? You'll be the only person who knows. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Netflix.
I'm going to follow every one of these cast members on Instagram too, because they're all stunning.
Oh, they are.
So I want to tell everyone, please find us on Instagram. If you want all of our updates at A Very Merry Iconic Podcast. You can follow there. We're going to just be doing fun Christmas updates, whatever we want to post.
And tag us when you watch it. Send us stuff.
And I'm on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm on Insta and Twitter at Jenna.Brister.
Right, so follow us there. And thank you all for listening. And I want to let everyone know that this podcast will be appearing on the main Everything Iconic feed. So we'll try to do it there. If you want to just subscribe, you can subscribe to it separately. We're on Stitcher now. We're on Google Play. We're trying to get on everyone that we can. We're on Spotify, iTunes. You could subscribe to a Very Merry Iconic podcast separately there. Otherwise, you'll get the Bravo updates and these Christmas updates on the Everything Iconic feed. So
life is good.
Without further ado, thank you, thank you, thank you. We'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, ciao.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.